All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat tonight. Guitar Glenn is on. Robin Aroni, who I saw in church yesterday, is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. ED209H is on. Greg Ninemon is on. JGCK is on. 509 25 McDonald is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Arcadia Angel is on. Bud 64 is on. Let me see here. Adam Lombard is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Michelle Tile is on. Peg McGroin is on. Agravain is on. DK Jackson is on. Golf Master 1 is on. Vovo 960 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Mike Griffith is on. Blade Runner is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Let me see here. Ever Eden is on. Waterline 46 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Jim Brody is on. Barn Evil is on. Let me see here. N Johns 127 is on. Scrolling down here. Let me see. Hanslick Donovan is on. TJT1 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Milwaukee James is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Michigan Exposed is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Les Cruz Brown is on. Agravain is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me grab a couple more here. PD Frank is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. K4VMS is on. Let me see here. Patrina C is on. Day Now 59 is on. Thunderbolt is on. Let me see. Grab a couple more here. Conservative Warrior 65 is on. Total G Word is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Charlie 340 is on. One more. Let me see. Grab one more I haven't seen yet here. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Probably Kentucky Lady 457 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Now, I want to celebrate the holidays. Thursday's a week away from Thanksgiving. And I just want to open up by reminding you where we were exactly 1 year ago. Christmas in the White House. Here it was. Play it for me. I can't show you the whole thing. It's like another minute, 15 seconds. I mean, I just wanted to remind you now, whenever, if you ever get to, you know, a little discouraged or you get down on Trump a little bit, it's certainly a whole lot better. Wait till Trump's White House comes out because Melania decorates it and it's always old school, brilliant, beautiful in comparison to that sort of, I don't know, pedophile paradise that was that we just saw. Absolutely disgusting. But anyway, all right, so big news coming out on the Epstein. We got to do the rudimentary Epstein stuff. Trump is now released. You can put up the first one for me. This is Trump True Social post. If you can't see it, screenshot it, blow it up. But anyway, Trump has now said that he's going, Congress is going to be voting on releasing I don't mean to be so wonkish on this stuff, but please understand what's being released is what has been really released to Congress. Which there's buried stuff in the CIA, buried stuff in the FBI, buried stuff in the NSA, buried stuff in the State Department, whatever. And then there's also unreleased court transcripts and depositions in at least two different jurisdictions in Florida and New York, multiple trials. So the stuff that is released has been changed, has been altered by Maureen Comey, by James Comey, by Christopher Wray. Clapper, Brennan, Susan Rice, everything else. They added things about Trump that didn't exist. It's already been debunked. Trump already knows that. And when Trump says, and Trump is just he totally blew this. And he's now come out and explained it correctly. He came out and said, I can't remember who it was that he was interviewing with, but he said, when I say hoax, I mean anything having to do with Republicans. That's what he said. So finally, he's actually said what he just needs to clarify, because he thinks everybody knows what he's talking about, because he's saying it's a hoax to Mike Johnson, to his own administration. In other words, it's a hoax when it has to do anything, when it has anything to do with me, it's a complete hoax. And he does, and it being weaponized against me is a hoax. And he is 1,000% correct whenever he says that. So, but he finally has come out and explained it, and now said when the House votes for it to be released, and again, it meaning what is available to them, which is altered and small. But anyway, he will sign off on it. So here's what he said. As I said on Friday night aboard Air Force One to the fake news media, House Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files. There we go. Because we have nothing to hide and it's time to move on from this Democrat hoax. Now, why didn't he do this? How many months ago do you think it was, Aaron?
Oh, gosh.
4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah.
And it would have saved us. I know some of you get sick and tired of hearing about the Epstein stuff. By the way, so do I. Because I know there's no there. I know it's got nothing to do with Trump. And the stuff that's going to be released is going to have no there. It's not going to incriminate or be exculpatory or for Bill Clinton or any other Democrats. Already all been cleaned up. And that's why Trump's saying it's a hoax. He's saying it's a hoax on two ends. First of all, that it's going to incriminate him. And then second of all, that it's going to incriminate any Democrats, because he didn't do anything. And the Democrats, like Bill Clinton on the Lolita Express, with the giant painting of himself in a woman's dress, pointing at the camera in Epstein's house, none of it is going to incriminate him, the stuff that's going to be released. Now, court docs might. Now, who's suing to keep the court documents sequestered? Democratic attorneys suing Democrat collaborative judges. As they come out, and because the Democrats know that they've already been told by Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Maureen Comey, and Biden administration officials, don't worry, it's already been cleaned up, so go ahead and release it. And they probably knew that Trump would fight it, so they get 4 or 5 months, 5, 6 months maybe, worth of false accusation, politically expedient material against Donald Trump. And he just should have said from the beginning, release it. The reason why he didn't was because there was allegedly a meeting between him and John Ratcliffe, the head of the CIA, saying, you know, don't release it. It could be damaging to our intelligence agencies. It would only be damaging to specific intel officials and Mossad and MI1, MI5 and MI6. So Trump agreed to cooperate with that. He shouldn't have. You can't trust Ratcliffe. You can't trust who Ratcliffe is receiving his information from. I used to think Ratcliffe was something, but what CIA reforms have you seen? None. What FBI reforms have you seen? None. We've been told that Thomas Crooks acted alone. We've been told that Tyler Robinson acted alone. Well, it's obvious they didn't. So Cash Patel has obviously been corrupted. It doesn't take long. They come in there, and next thing you know, Cash Patel's got his private jet flying all over the country to see his girlfriend sing. It doesn't take long for them to corrupt you. There's a lot. It's not just honeypot with women. It's honeypot with money and honeypot maybe with information about you, whatever it may be. So Trump here is says the House should vote to release the Epstein files because we have nothing to hide. It's time to move on from this Democrat hoax perpetrated by the radical left lunatics in order to deflect from the great success. Problem is with that, Trump, is that you listen to people telling you not to cooperate with the release. Why didn't you do this 5 months ago? Then you wouldn't be having this ongoing feud with backslidden Marjorie Taylor Greene, which I'll get to in a minute, where she's completely wrong about everything but the Epstein files. But anyway, including our recent victory on the Democratic shutdown, the Department of Justice has already turned over tens of thousands of pages to the public on Epstein, are looking at various Democrat operatives, Bill Clinton, Reid Hoffman, Larry Summers, and their relationship to Epstein, and the House Oversight Committee can have whatever they are legally entitled to. I don't care. All I do care about is that Republicans get back on point. And again, he would have helped greatly if he just would have released it.
Yeah.
Tell them, again, and it blows my mind, because you're protecting the people who have persecuted you via prosecution. The people who have persecuted Donald Trump has been the CIA, who you're now going to protect, has been Mossad, who you're now going to protect, has been MI5 and MI6, the authors of the collusion hoax narrative. Really, the authors of the Steele dossier was retired MI6 operative Christopher Steele. And you're going to protect these people? And again, they always say, the officials from these agencies say it's a national security issue. It's not a national security issue. It is a reputational security issue for themselves and a criminal reputational issue for higher ups in those agencies. Christopher Steele is a devout criminal. So's Brennan, so's Clapper. They all are, and they know it. And what they'll say is, as Anthony Fauci does, you need to make sure that you redact all of my emails. Why do you want us to redact your emails? Because Anthony Fauci is on the record on his emails covering up for gain of function research and the very fact that he funded it and that scientists told him that the virus was manufactured in a lab, and all that has to be redacted. Why? To protect Anthony Fauci, but he calls it national security. And Trump is catching on to this. Now, Trump's old school. He's 79. He's old school. So he still believes that the CIA, on the whole, exists to protect America. On the whole, it exists to protect crony capitalists. Not real. When I say crony capitalists, they are socialist Nazis. They're not. Don't think there's, because the word capitalist is attached to them, that there's any virtue in them whatsoever, because there is not. These are wretched, horrible people who peddle their wares, whether they're vaccines or anything else, all around the globe, and the CIA protects their interest. That's what they do. And the CIA operatives vacillate from the CIA into the Atlantic Council, into these companies, and sit on their boards, get paid exorbitant salaries. That's all that it's about. Understand, I can deep dive into that and talk about it for 30 minutes, but I'm not going to do it. All right, let's go to the next one. Wall Street Apes video. In 20,000 pages of Jeffrey Epstein's documents released, it shows Democrat, here she is, go side by side, Aaron, would you real quick, Democrat Stacey Plaskett. Now, she was at the time questioning Michael Cohen, Trump's backslidden attorney. I'm not talking about spiritual when I say that. I mean, just people that are turncoats. But anyway, she was questioning Michael Cohen. And while she was questioning Michael Cohen, she was receiving very specific texts about what questions to ask Michael Cohen. Can anybody guess from who? Jeffrey Epstein. Play it for me.
Epstein messaged Delegate Stacey Plaskett while she questioned Michael Cohen. She was actively texting with Epstein during a 2019 House Oversight Committee hearing. While Plaskett grilled President Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen, Epstein appeared to be providing real-time coaching with timestamps matching her questions and his messages. Newly released estate texts are part of Oversight Committee pages. They come from the Oversight Committee. 20,000 pages released from the Epstein files. They show Epstein sending short notes to Democrat Delegate Stacey Plaskett. Rona, good work. Are you chewing? Plaskett's office confirms she got texts from many sources, including Epstein. Records also show past donations from Epstein. She was actively being coached and paid by Epstein after he was convicted of sexual trafficking. For years, the media peddled the lie that Epstein had no ties to Democrats. Yet, here he was meddling in official proceedings targeting the America First leader. The facts are massive. A registered sex offender, entangled in global elite networks, had a direct line to Capitol Hill, potentially swaying inquiries against Trump because it's a Democrat and it torpedoes the fabricated Epstein was Trump's friend smear. The story is being buried. This scandal raises urgent questions about who else on the left Epstein influenced and how deep his tentacles reached into anti-Trump operations. Follow a Newsmax.baby.
So there you go. I mean, basically, Epstein was an operative for the globalist left, for Mossad, which is globalist left, CIA, globalist left, MI6, globalist left, and the Democratic Party, globalist left. They really, I mean, again, there's always some sort of exception, but really 100% of the people that dealt with Jeffrey Epstein, when it came to his honeypot operations around the globe, because that's what it is, simply honeypot. Now, of course, Cash Patel's come out and testified that there's no evidence that he used those women to influence anybody, that all they were simply recruited, hundreds of them, for himself. Yeah. Even though his plane was full of bankers, politicians, and actors.
Don't say that.
Oh, I'm not allowed to say it? Okay. No. Because, I mean, that's what Cash Patel says. I mean, it has to be true.
All right.
I mean, his eyes are bugged out like farther than ever. But I'm just like, as he lies. But anyway, but basically, just for ease of conversation, everybody involved with Jeffrey Epstein, Lolita Express, and his island, it were either sycophantical Republicans, which means they're Democrats, they're just Democratic Party operatives with a Republican name. And remember, it was Bill Barr's daddy who introduced Jeffrey Epstein into the banking community, by the way. Of course, that's all just coincidence. And then, of course, Bill Barr, who said that Jeffrey Epstein wasn't murdered. It's Bill Barr that locked up Jeffrey Epstein and then oversaw his suicide. It's all coincidence, of course, but I'm just saying. So all these Democrats, funny that none of them ever came out. I mean, Stacey Plaskett has not come out and said, hey, I just want to, be transparent and honest with everybody that, we're accusing Donald Trump of these collaborations with Jeffrey Epstein. But I myself was receiving, not just a few years ago, text messages from Jeffrey Epstein as I questioned Trump's attorney. So whose side would Epstein be on? If Epstein is siding with the Democrats to question Trump's attorney, then whose side is Epstein on? Well, I think it's obvious. Well, Will Cain runs it down here on Fox News because now the story has officially broken and has reached mainstream media. Townhall.com, Will Cain explains exactly how insane the timeline is when Democrat Stacey Plaskett was receiving real-time advice from Jeffrey Epstein. Play it for me.
Morning of a hearing where the House was questioning Michael Cohen, Plaskett was communicating with Jeffrey Epstein. To be clear, this is years and years after he was convicted in 2008 of soliciting a minor. Plaskett was texting with Epstein that morning, the morning of the hearing that was aired on C-SPAN. She texted with Epstein. He'll talk about his grades. Epstein responded, "What privilege stands behind the non-release of college transcripts?" He then says, "Great outfit. You look great." All caps. Plaskett replied, "Thanks." It goes on. At 10:41 a.m., Epstein, ever the weirdo, texts her, "Are you chewing?" Plaskett responds, "Not anymore. Chewing interiors of my mouth. Bad habit from middle school." Then Epstein asks when Plaskett's turn for questioning Cohen will come up. And she replies, "Hours, go to other meetings." But then we get to the meeting. Then we get to her turn. Then we get to the questioning of Cohen. And Epstein tells her, "Cohen brought up Rona, keeper of secrets." Plaskett doesn't know who Rona is. You don't know who Rona is. And Rona's in all caps. So Plaskett responds at 2:25 p.m., "Rona?" Then she says, "Quick, I'm up next. Is that an acronym?" Then finally Epstein responds, "That's his assistant." Now listen, this is all of how it played out on text exchange. Now I want to show you the video from a C-SPAN airing. These are timestamped. So is the C-SPAN timestamping of that congressional hearing. And you'll see Plaskett look down at her phone as these texts come in and change her questioning, including not knowing the last name of Rona, who she ends up asking about to Cohen.
Mr. Weisenberg and other individuals, Ms. Rona. Who are those individuals? As Ms. Rona, what is Ms. Rona's
position? Rona Graff is Mr. Trump's executive assistant.
And would she be able to corroborate many of the statements that you've made here?
Yes, she was. Her office is directly next to his, and she's involved in a lot.
Time stamped right there. In that moment, another text from Epstein. What does he tell Plaskett? Good job.
There you go. Now that's who's committed. So whose side was Epstein on? I think it's very obvious here. And now, Aaron, what's her job now? Stacey Plaskett.
She's a delegate to the House of Representatives from the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Don't worry. She's probably getting paid, I don't know, between $100,000 and $200,000 a year for that job, whatever that even means. A delegate to the House of Representatives from the U.S. Virgin Islands. She needs to be fired immediately. If that's anything under the administrative branch or the executive branch, excuse me, she needs to be fired immediately. But anyway, that just shows you whose side Jeffrey Epstein was on the anti-Trump side. And so Trump's doing the right thing. I think that he was misguided by, a lot of times I think Trump is misguided by his staff. The things that he actually does on his own are usually correct. But I think he was misguided. He should have released it a long time ago. Again, the documents that you're going to see are going to add up to nothing because they've already been sanitized by the Biden, Obama administrations, and even Trump won. Trump won because the first, when Trump was president, 17 to 21, even then, he didn't know. He thought all these people that were working for him, like the Gina Haspels of the world in the CIA, were good people. They weren't. They were sabotaging him the entire time. So they were weaponizing the files against Donald Trump too. But that's all the stuff that was weaponized against Donald Trump in those Epstein files has now already been debunked. But it's also not going to incriminate any Democrats either. The incriminating evidence and the incriminating documents are all in jurisdictional courts that the Democrats are suing to keep sequestered. That's the truth. That's what's happening with the Epstein files. All right, moving on. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, now who MTG, who Donald Trump now calls Marjorie Traitor Greene, are feuding. And why is it exactly that they're feuding? Well, you saw some of it in the pregame. Well, she wants to run for governor of Georgia, which she has no chance of winning. But according to Trump sent her a poll. Or no, she wants to run for Senate. She wants to run for senator. And I also heard she wants to run for governor. Both are statewide votes, obviously. Trump sent her a poll and said, you're behind Ossoff by 20 points. So that one was talking about her running for senator. So he was like, don't run. And allegedly that might be the genesis of the feud. But anyway, but also Marjorie Taylor Greene has been, rightfully so, release the Epstein files, release the Epstein files, release the Epstein files. But here's the problem. I would side with her on that point if she had actually stuck to her guns. But she went on The View, and I'm going to try to explain this in a spiritual sort of pastoral way from what I've seen, because I've been pastoring right where I'm sitting, Foundation Church, since 2003, 2004, something like that. And so I've seen a lot of this, and I saw a lot of this during COVID. But what happens with people, and I'll play this video in a second. It's a Johnny Maga video. Marjorie Taylor Greene goes on CNN to apologize for taking part in toxic politics. That's never a good sign. And she went on The View and was absolutely repulsive. I mean, refused to say anything that needed to be said, was glad handing the panel on The View, the Joy Behars and the Sonny Hostins and the Whoopi Goldbergs, playing patty cake with them. Playing soft, not saying anything that could possibly offend them, because I think she's trying to up her profile in public and appear to be somebody who can appeal to people on the left who will never vote for you, But here she is again. Johnny Maga video. Play for me.
I would like to say humbly, I'm sorry for taking part in the toxic politics. It's very bad for our country. It's been something I've thought about a lot, especially since Charlie Kirk was assassinated, is that I'm only responsible for myself and my own words and actions. And I am committed, and I've been working on this a lot lately, to put down the knives in politics. I really just want to see people be kind to one another. And we need to figure out a new path forward that is focused on the American people, because as Americans, no matter what side of the aisle we're on, we have far more in common than we have differences. Yeah. And we need to be able to respect each other with our disagreements.
No, we don't have anything in common. You're going to sit there, Marjorie. Now, what happened to you? Well, she wants to up her profile and run for a state seat, a statewide office like senator or governor. Well, okay, so what do you do then? Are you going to compromise to do that? I mean, in all honesty, it could be a path, but you really think you're going to get the Atlanta vote because you've softened your rhetoric? Now, she says we have far more in common. Well, what do we have in common with a Democrat? I'm asking you. We had 606 people watching right now. Everybody in the chat. What do we have in common with a Democrat? I'm just curious. She says we have a lot more in common than we do differences. Really? Okay. I don't believe in slaughtering the unborn. Do they? Yes. I don't believe in slaughtering born people after they're born, 28 days after they're born, like California wanted to do. Do they? Yes. And Ralph Northam, right out of Virginia, wanted to do the exact same thing. We're going to have a conversation with the doctor and the mother and decide who's going to wring the kid's neck and kill him after they're born. But anyway, so I don't have that in common with them. I don't have climate change in common with them. I don't have an open border in common with them. I don't have gun rights in common with them. I don't have the cutting off of penises, testicles, and breasts in common with them. I don't have fully penis men twerking their taped up genitals in front of 8-year-old girls' faces in common with them. I don't have anything in common with them. I don't have electric cars in common with them. I don't have climate mitigation. I didn't have COVID in common with them. I still don't. There's still some of them wearing masks. I don't have COVID in common with them. Vaccines in common with them. I don't believe any of their pundits. I don't believe in it. So I have nothing in common. Who is she trying to win? And then if you have to change all of your principles and all of your morals to win them, what have you won them to? Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing that I preach all the time.
Yep.
If you water down the word of God, if you water it down, and you say, you know, you can just keep on sinning and be a Christian. And a lot of people, you might be watching this and thinking that you can keep on sinning and be a Christian. Sean Hannity will tell you that. Sean Hannity, we're not judging now. We're not judging. Yes, he's living with his girlfriend, but he's a Christian man. No, he's not. Not according to the Bible. He's not a Christian man. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of truth than to know it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit and a sow returns to wallowing in the mud. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. Shall I go on? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, titled The Great Falling Away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, titled The Great Falling Away. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What else do I need to say? At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Matthew 24, 10 through 13. So my point in all this is you can walk away from your salvation and nobody preaches it. Why? Because it offends people. If you sit there and you preach to people, they can keep on sinning. And they're Christians. They're not. They're not Christians. If we sin, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, 9 and 10. That's what you do. So, I mean, if you water down the gospel to win people, what have you won them to? You ready? It's a four-letter word and it's not that one. It's hell. That's what you won them to. If you're sitting there, they sing the same songs that Aaron's worship team sings. Their website looks like ours. They have the same salvation prayer. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but they never tell them to repent of their sin. And that's it. So they're going to the same hell they're going to, pre-sinner's prayer. Because nobody's ever told them. It's what I call sin-filled grace. There is no such thing. So it's actually sin-filled hell. And see, Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing the exact same thing. She says, put down the knives, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4, 12. You don't ever put down the swords. You say what is in fact true. You say to the Democrat, you are an abortionist scumbag because that's what they are. That's what Jesus did. Oh, no, that's not Christianity. Have you ever read Jesus? If you think that, you've never read the words of Jesus. If you think Jesus was soft-spoken and never called anybody names like scumbag, because he did. Absolutely did. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Matthew 23, 15. Hey, Aaron, who was talking there?
Jesus.
That would be Jesus.
Yeah.
Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Matthew 23:27. I go on. So this, what she's saying doesn't work. And then you're going to have people. And by the way, all that happens to Republicans who water down their messages. Al D'Amato learned this in New York. He tried to pander. Senator out of New York decided, you know, I'm going to moderate and try to win the left. You ain't ever going to win the left. You can moderate all you want. By the way, they'll encourage you the whole time. Yeah, we really appreciate Marjorie. You know, Sonny Hostin was like, you know, licking her boots while she was there. So was Whoopi and Joy Behar. Alyssa Farah, whatever stupid name is. All of us licking Marjorie Taylor's boots while she was there because they want her to do this. Great, moderate, because then we'll have a watered down Republican running against a full blown leftist, which a watered down Republican is a full blown leftist. And then what can we lose? Nothing. We'll end up if we do lose, we end up with a Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski, which votes, or even John Thune, who votes most of the time with Democrats. So that's, they'll encourage you the whole time to do it. Just like the devil encourages all those pastors. Don't preach the word now. You don't want to offend people. All right. If you offend somebody with the gospel, that means they don't want the gospel. Okay, I mean, I want everyone to think of the duplicitous nature of all this. Because it's the same thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene's doing. I'm just using the gospel as an example. She put down the knives. No, you never put down the knives. You say what needs to be said. But just think about it. If you tell somebody the gospel of Jesus, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, right? So you tell people you have to turn from your sin. And that offends people. Like, I wanted Jesus, but still I want to stay homosexual. I want to keep sleeping with my girlfriend, whatever it may be. So the watered down pastor never actually tells them you have to turn from your sin. So what have they won them to? They haven't won them to the gospel. They've won them to a Pharisaic cultism made up by man that sends you straight to hell. That's the truth. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, if she does, she'll not get any votes from the left. All she'll do is cause people like me to not support her. Because I'm certainly not going to have somebody who gets along with Sonny Hostin represent me. And the point is not to get along with everybody. The point is to speak and act in the truth. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth, that's what you do. And now she's obfuscating the truth. I'm not going to say things anymore because we have more in common than we do differences. No, we don't. And she knows that's not true. You're telling me she has some more in common with Jasmine Crockett than she has differences? Really?
I hope not.
I mean, really? Yeah, exactly. Really? It's just, I'm going to put down. So you're not going to tell the abortionists that they're murdering kids? Well, that person, that abortionist, wants to be a Christian. So I'm not going to tell them that they're murdering kids. So they become a Christian while they're still murdering kids. Are they a Christian? No, they're a murderer. An unforgiving murderer is going to die and go to hell. But by the way, this isn't just like Lutherans and Catholics that pull this stuff. This is all the statistically speaking, it really is all evangelical churches now. They don't tell anybody they need to turn from their sin. They're going to put down the knives because we all have more in common. Yeah, well, all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God, and narrow is the way and few find it. Now, we got a lot in common. So all you do when you soften the rhetoric is build a false community of people now living under a false label. If you water down the gospel or you water down your Republicanism and you allegedly win them in and you've canceled different parts of the Republican platform or the conservative platform, what have you won them to? If the conservative part has been scratched out to win them, then you've won them to their originating liberalism. You've won them to nothing. That's exactly what I've seen it a million times in this church. I sat with a family that I was close to. And she just got to where, you know what? I just, you know, want to just love people in. Okay, love them in. First of all, that's not a Bible verse. The Bible verse is preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Everybody's heard that, right? 2 Timothy 4:2. For the time, what's the next verse? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But you, what's the next verse? But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Doesn't say win them with love. Doesn't say that. Because, but by the way, you do win them with love by doing what, Aaron? Preaching the word.
Yep.
Exactly. That is love because Jesus is the word. Jesus is God. And God is love. 1 John 4:16. So, I mean, think, I'm going to win. I'm not going to preach the gospel. I'm not going to tell a sinner they're sinning so that I don't offend them away from the from Christianity. Again, it's almost hard to talk about because it makes no sense. It really makes absolutely no sense that you're going to water down the gospel. You're not going to preach the gospel to win them to the gospel. Because in all these churches, really, they're winning them to the devil in the name of Jesus. That's why his word is magnified above his name. Psalm 138, too. Well, I'll worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your name, you've magnified your word above all your name. Because anybody can use the name of Jesus, but Jesus is the word. John chapter 1, verse 14. 1 John 5:7. Jesus is the word. John 1:1. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, correlating with Colossians 1:15-16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created. For him, all things were created. And through him, all things were created. So that Marjorie Taylor Greene is just playing the backslidden Christian's playbook. That's what she's doing. I've seen it a million times. Oh, you know what? We just want to like try to win people over with love and not confront them and not tell them that they're horrible or whatever. You know what? First of all, I never tell people they're horrible. But the second thing is I tell them what their status is, heaven or hellbound. We don't want to tell people about heaven or hell. What are you winning them to? You're just winning them to hell disguised as heaven. That's it. All right, change the subject. Let's go to Snap now. And this is funny because they're actually playing a Christian song while they do this. Aaron, this looks like a typical kind of, this guy probably goes to one of these ARC churches.
Yeah.
Because he believes, you know, I actually spoke about this on Sunday. Because a lot of people go to church, they don't give to the church they go to. So they're Republicans everywhere, except when they come to church, they become hardcore leftist idiots. But anyway, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. How in the world you could be a hardcore Republican and then be a leftist communist when you come into church, you never give to your church you attend. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, so this is a One Bad Dude video. It's funny, they're playing these songs. This guy looks like a guy that goes to, you know, one of these ARC churches, watered down churches that claims the name of Jesus but doesn't preach the gospel. And plays all the Christian songs, plays all the modern worship music and everything else. They always avoid one point. You need to turn from your sin to go to heaven. But anyway,
right.
Is that's part of faith. Well, what do you mean, Tom? That sounds like it's workspace. Oh, let's look real quick. Hebrews 3:18-19. To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, because obedience is faith.
Boom.
Boom. That's it. So I don't agree, Tom. Bring the Bible verses then. Come on, bring them. You're going to lose.
Right.
You're going to lose. You will lose. Believe me. You're going to give it to me.
Believe me.
You will. You're going to lose because you don't have to buy it. There's no way to defeat the gospel with the gospel. It's not going to happen. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Proverbs 21:30. You're going to lose. See? You're lose. So you can put it in the chat if you want. Good luck. You're going to lose and lose bad. I'll just humiliate you in front of everybody because you don't have the Bible verses to preach a sin-filled, hell-bound grace. Don't bother with it. Don't bother. You'll lose. But anyway, this is the late, you know, these videos are always coming out. These people finally got their Snap money. And this one just particularly made me nauseated because they're playing Christian music with it. Play it for me. Can I get a hallelujah? Someone say amen. Can I get a thank you, Jesus? Lord, have mercy. Praise him for all the goodness that he's shown in your life. If you got a song inside your soul, don't hold it back. Somebody praise God for that. I got some advice for that guy, you know, maybe to get one or two less neck tattoos and go pull a shift at McDonald's. Start freaking working. Little white trash turd. Why don't you just go work instead of me, Aaron, Brent, and everybody watching buying your food for you. You know, you like Bible verses? I'll just keep coming.
Keep them coming.
I mean,
do it.
2 Thessalonians 3:10. If you don't work, you don't eat. How you like that?
Oops.
There it is. Remember when we were with you, this week commanded you that if anyone would not work, neither should he eat. That's just the Bible. It's just Paul writing that. What does that mean? Everything. All right, Red Wave press video. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins on SNAP benefits. We know the SNAP program is rife with fraud. As mentioned, 29 states complied, mostly red states. What we found since we started getting data late spring of this year is just stunning. As you mentioned, 186,000 people dead on SNAP. Play it for me.
As the USDA said, all eligible families getting their full benefits today, while the Trump administration announces an overhaul of that program, you're requiring every SNAP participant to reapply as part of a crackdown on fraud. You pointed out data from 29 states showing 186,000 deceased individuals were still receiving benefits, 120 people under arrest for fraud so far. On top of that, New York requirements and a $186 billion budget cut also taking effect. So what, somebody died and their heirs started receiving their SNAP benefits? Secretary, what happened?
It's just incredible. And, you know, within the first hour of me being sworn in February, this was one of my very first things that we did. We sent a letter to every state. We said business as usual is over. The status quo is no more. We know that the SNAP program is rife with fraud, but it's all anecdotal. This was last February, that we have no data. How is it true that the taxpayers through the federal government fund this $100 billion program every single year, but we don't even know whether it's being done correctly, what the accountability looks like? We want that data ourselves. As I mentioned, 29 states complied, mostly the red states. And what we have found since we started getting that data late spring of this year is just stunning. As you mentioned, 186,000 deceased individuals receiving benefits, 500,000 people getting more than two times the benefit. So they're getting it in one place and then they're getting it in another place. The same person. We found thousands of individuals that were getting benefits in 3 to 4 or 5, 6 different states. I mean, it is one thing after another. And this is just from the red states. Can you imagine when we get through litigation and we get that data from California, New York, Oregon? We know under Biden, the program increased 40%. Of course, we believe they were trying to buy the election by pushing more and more money out without any accountability. So this is what we're trying to bring under control. And listen,
So I just wanted to show you that. And the key thing in that video is these are with the compliant red states that have cooperated with this investigation. That's what they found. Can you imagine when we get to Washington, Oregon, California, New York, Illinois with Fat Boy Pritzker, Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire? Wait till we find out. I mean, just some examples where you had 500,000 people in red states getting more than two times their benefits. Just like we chronicled the other night, where one woman found out she had $23,000 in her SNAP account. $23,000 in her SNAP account. Why? Because it's supposed to, every 9 months or something? Every 9 months, it's supposed to set to zero.
Yep.
But all you have to do is spend $1 in that 9 month period and you keep all the money that's in there. So these people just keep accumulating. One account had $60,000 in it. SNAP account. That's why then what they do is sell that cash for, let's say, 80 cents on the dollar. So if they have $10,000 in there in their SNAP account, they get $8,000 for the $10,000 worth of SNAP, which is sold and resold and resold at various levels of profit. That's what's going on. $38 trillion in debt, folks. When Biden took office, I mean, listen. Yeah, leave it. Thank you, Aaron. When Biden took office, how many people were on SNAP? This is pathetic in and of itself. But think about how cataclysmic 4 years can be. Biden showed us that. When Biden took office, 17 million people were on SNAP. 17 million. 4 years later, 42 million people are now on SNAP. How did that happen? Why? You know why that happened? Well, this video will explain it to you. At Chicago Run One Ray video, before Biden, there was 17 million. After Biden, 42 million. 59%, you're going to love this, 59% of the people collecting SNAP are illegals. Play it for me.
Think about this. Before Joe Biden was president, we had around 17 million Americans that were receiving SNAP benefits every month. Since Joe Biden was president, now we have 42 million people who are receiving SNAP benefits each month. And I say people because 59% of the people that are receiving SNAP benefits are illegal immigrants. Joe Biden allowed millions upon millions of people to come into America illegally, and now we are paying for them. 59% of all the people receiving SNAP benefits every month are illegal immigrants. So we as taxpayers are funding them, giving them money so that they can go and buy groceries each month. We want to help people here in America, like single moms, Americans who need a little bit of extra help every month. We didn't vote to take care of illegal immigrants, but Joe Biden, he let all these people in. The Democrats held the government down for 43 days because they wanted to keep funding illegal immigrants. Illegal immigrants are their way to continue to stay in office. Perhaps if we stopped taking care of illegal immigrants, maybe they would stay in their own country.
Well, just notice how the numbers line up. Before Biden took office, 17 million people are on SNAP. And after Biden took office, that went up, let's see, it'd be 37 and 5, went up 25 million. That's about how many people he let in, right? That's it's 60% of the people on SNAP are illegals. That's exactly what's happening. The numbers are they all line up. And everybody who's involved in any of this, whether, because a lot of these, some of the, you know, the red states and their collaboration with this investigation, every single person who, when 186,000 dead people are receiving SNAP, we need to find out where that money went. And every one of them needs to go to prison for fraud. When they're receiving 500,000 people in red states are receiving double their benefits, all of them need to go to prison for fraud. Until this happens, it's until people start to go to prison, this is never going to end. And this is what people are like, cut military spending. You don't need to cut military spending. You don't need to cut Social Security. Eliminate SNAP. Eliminate it. I think Aaron said $100 billion. I don't remember how much went into it. Trying to remember exactly what in all this. But anyway, it's hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. And about 99% of the people on SNAP can work, and the rest of them are illegals. Why are we spending this money? And you're like, Tom, you're a pastor of a church. What does this have to do with you? Everything. I mean, everybody realizes, right, that in the Revolutionary War, only 3% of the population fought in that war, right? Just like about 3% of us didn't wear masks and close our churches for COVID.
Yep.
Right? If that.
Yeah.
I mean, there was none around
that's
here.
That's generous.
So, I mean, there was like one other pastor I know that didn't close his church, but he mitigated. But anyway, we were packed out. But right in the altar, packed out.
Yep.
Just standing there next to each other while they got death threats online. But I mean, so that just shows you who, and it always shows you, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing when it comes to salvation. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. And watch. And what is the next verses? You know what's always funny is what I was talking about earlier. You'll have the liars come to you and tell you it's wide and all encompassing and all accommodating. What's the next verses? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:13, 14, 15, and 16. No, you can be a Christian and keep sin. No, you can't. No, you can't. You're like, I disagree. You'll find out on Judgment Day. Good luck with that. When you're judged according to your works, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Great white throne judgment. But that's not a digress. But anyway, I just wanted to but 3% fought in the Revolutionary War. What was a big chunk of that? The Black Robe Regiment with which pastors fighting in the war.
Yep.
You think I would have sat it out, honestly?
No way.
No, I can't live with myself. Yeah, listen, I've seen this church empty out, and I know who caused it to empty out. I try to blame Aaron, but I can't. But anyway, so I mean, why? Because I'm going to stand in that breach, and I'm going to say what needs to be said. And if I don't win them to the Lord because I preach the gospel to them, think about this. If I don't win them to the Lord, or you make it political, I don't win them to Republicanism, which Marjorie Taylor Greene is trying to do right now. I want to win them to Republicanism by not telling them about Republicanism and not holding them accountable for their leftism. So somehow I'm going to win them to a Republicanism that is leftism. Same thing with watered down pastors, skinny jean wearing latte sucking pastors. And I'm going to win them to the gospel by not preaching the gospel to them. So I've won them to nothingness except for hellfire and brimstone, because they've been won to a gospel of my own creation. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Is it really freaking 10 o'clock? Yeah. Holy crap. I didn't get to anything right now. Oh, my word. Oh. By the last verse was Matthew 15, 14. But anyway, doing a lot of preaching tonight. A lot of preaching.
Fire.
A lot of preaching.
He's doing the preaching.
He's preaching. All right, let me show you this one. Now, every hero of the left is a complete and total fraud. Everyone, I mean, whether it's Al Gore, which I've got to get to my... Oh, good. Al Gore's next. Which you ought to just combine that into one word, Al Gore. But anyway... Every single one of their heroes is a complete fraud, whether it's Hussein Obama, you know, Mr. Open Borders. But he was what was called the deporter in chief. So that was all a lie with him, whatever. But everybody, all their heroes are liars. All their heroes are frauds. So here's one right now. This is a great little 2 minute 45 second clip off the Joe Rogan show. Joe Rogan goes silent as guest dives deep on who Zelensky really is. One of their heroes now, Slava Ukraine. Who all was he attributed to? St. Patrick, Francis of Assisi, yep. Second coming of Winston Churchill, yep. Slava Ukraine, Nancy Pelosi's on Capitol Hill. He appears at the Grammys, traveling the world. His wife's going off buying Prada bags everywhere, yep. In a private jet that you pay for. But here's the real Zelensky. This is who he really is. Play it for me.
I keep asking if I have time. Do I have time to tell the Zelensky story?
Sure.
Because it's another one. It's just, you know, what is Zelensky? In America, he's a hero. He's a real warrior. He's got that nice green, you know, warrior suit on. And here's the truth. And people know parts of this story, but they don't know it in its cleanest narrative. So he was a totally apolitical. He was an outsider to politics. Zero experience or interest in government or politics. He was a comedian. And with no manifesto, no party ties. And he does a TV show. A planned TV show called Servant of the People. And the main character in the show does a YouTube video that calls out oligarchs and corruption and eventually becomes popular and is drafted as a protest candidate and eventually becomes president. So Zelensky played on a TV show a person who becomes president by popular demand. In real life, the TV show is supported by an oligarch named Kolomoisky who owned the TV channel. And Kolomoisky did a huge nonstop promo on that TV show to make it the number one show. Primetime slots and ads everywhere and crossovers with the news and what have you. 2018, a year before the show goes off the air, Zelensky forms a political party called Servant of the People, the same title as the show. And in no press release, secretly done, and then he does another season of the show. And in April of 2019, he announces his actual candidacy on Instagram. He has no campaign, no rallies, no real platform. He skips the presidential debates others attended. He avoids press conferences, and the few that he did were really bad. And Kolomoisky's TV channel gave Zelensky's campaign endless airtime. And favorable polls and went after his enemies. The U.S. intelligence agencies, CIA and NSA, helped. U.S. spending $5 billion, by the way, on democracy campaigns in Ukraine, funneled through NGOs. And USAID embeds advisors in his organization to help with the campaign. I'm almost done. And on Election Day, Zelensky wins with 73% of the vote. And then the war happens with Russia, and he declares martial law, and he ends elections. There's supposed to be an election in 2024. That's what we get for our democracy money. And quite literally, he is an actor in a carefully designed television show. He is a construct, like Epstein is a construct, meaning he's a created entity. And it worked.
So let's break this down quickly, shall we? It's 10:04. I can't believe it. I mean, honestly, I thought it would be like 9:28 right now. So you have here you have Zelensky, the leftist hero. I mean, slot me, you got Sean Penn goes over there and everybody goes over there to pay homage to their god, Zelensky, who is nothing more than a piano playing with his penis actor who is on a show called Servant of the People that was on the TV show, and I'm assuming produced by an oligarch by the name of Kolomoisky. Now, Zelensky ends up forming this party named after his TV show, skips all the debates and all the proper vetting that goes on with candidates, and simply forms this party called Servant of the People. Then in this really convoluted sort of weird way, continues the show after forming the party, and it continues the show called Servant of the People. Also, in the midst, and then I was running for president with, you know, lavish polls put out by Kolomoisky, the owner of the TV station. By the way, all opposition media have since been banned by this alleged Democratic leader. Mm. All opposition media, all opposition parties, and elections have all been canceled. I thought you're a Democrat. You were always a defender of democracy and election integrity. Well, and then you defend and support Volodymyr Zelensky, who cancels elections and is now simply just an authoritarian dictator. But anyway, same exact thing as Vladimir Putin, who is allegedly this victim. I mean, this villain. But anyway, so in the midst of all of this TV show and running for president of Ukraine and all of this is propped up by this oligarch, that also sounds very familiar to what goes on in the United States too, right? You have the CIA and NSA pumping $5 billion via, get ready, a 30-minute dissertation if I get into it, via NGOs into Zelensky's campaign. $5 billion. Now, Aaron made a very valid point. So we spent $5 billion to later spend $300 billion on the war, because shortly after Zelensky gets elected, the war starts. So when the NSA CIA agitprop actually gets elected via another CIA NSA asset, Kolomoisky, and via NSA CIA $5 billion, everybody gets the war they want. It's just like World War I. Mm-hmm. It's just like World War II and Korea and Vietnam. It's all a lie. The men that fought in those wars are heroes. They didn't know, they're storming the beaches of Normandy, that it was basically for people to enrich themselves.
Yeah.
Now, when your brains get blown off on the beach of Normandy, you know, or Sword Beach or any of them, you know, you don't know it, but that's really what it is you're actually dying for somebody else's sycophantic love of money. But that's exactly what happened. So we spent $5 billion so we could later spend $300 billion. Can you imagine what we'd be into it now if Kamala, give it to me, Aaron,
Kamala,
was president right now? We would be, I don't know, $500-600 billion in and not making NATO pay a dime. Trump's eliminated all of our spending in Ukraine. I mean, again, you can be blackpilled on Trump if you want. I'm not. I still have great hope in Trump. And you saw the list at the beginning of the pregame of all the things that he's accomplished. One of the great things he's accomplished is we're not spending a dime in Ukraine anymore. That's over. Everything that I don't think we should even be a part of it in any way, shape, or form, because it's Slavic conflicts. We've been going on for 1,000 years. And you have the 11 state encroachment and everything else, and the reason why this war actually started. But somebody had it. There's a myriad of reasons why all of these oligarchical types, all of these military industrial complex types want this war. Victoria Nuland's, Jake Sullivan's, the Bidens are all covering up their malfeasance in the Ukraine while also prospering at the exact same time. And who's going to rebuild Ukraine? J.B. Pritzker rebuilds Ukraine, by the way. His sister is rebuilding Ukraine. And also with the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation is rebuilding Ukraine. The International Monetary Fund is rebuilding Ukraine. So the Hyatt Hotels is rebuilding Ukraine. And they've already got their digital infrastructure, CBDC infrastructure put in. They've also got their social credit system. They're already cashless. You know, Every Eden sent this in. Every Eden, if you're still watching, I had to read what you sent in because it's too good. Every Eden was talking about, we have 42 million people on SNAP. In Ever Eden's country is Australia. They have 26 million total people. We have We have 16 million more people on SNAP than the entire population of Australia.
That hurts.
60% of them are illegals that we let in. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, if there was, if they were looking down right now from space, to sum up America, it would be a guy hitting himself in the nuts with a baseball bat. Boom. 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 You don't got to hit yourself hard in the nuts to put it on the floor for half an hour.
True.
No. You know, it's got to be his little clip. I mean, you got someone come and go like, you're done half hour. This is a baseball bat. Boom. Look at this thing. Look at it. You know, 21 seconds from now, we're going to spend another $1 million. You just watch it. Go ahead and keep your own debt clock. It's true. Let me show you this one. Wide Awake Media video. Here's another liar and another hero of the left who does absolutely nothing but filthy, demonic lie. Al Gore dials the climate alarmism up to 11 during his performance at the COP30. Play for me.
Here we are at the COP30, which is kind of a full circle moment. And, of course, the purpose is to deal with the climate crisis, and this thin blue shell of atmosphere surrounding our planet is so thin it's only 5 to 7 kilometers thick. It's blue because that's where the oxygen is, and we are using it as an open sewer for 175 million tons of man-made global warming pollution spewed into it every single day. It adds up, it lingers there, and the accumulated amount today will trap as much extra heat as would be released by 750,000 first-generation atomic bombs exploding on the Earth every 24 hours. Literally insane that we're allowing this to continue. In any case, the temperatures are going up because of that. Last year was the hottest year in recorded history. We've seen a few million climate refugees trigger neo-authoritarianism and ultra-nationalism. The WHO climate group warns us that the areas that that are now physiologically unlivable for human beings because of the temperature and humidity, relatively small in those dark areas, are now expanding and could, if we don't make rapid changes over the next 35 years, include heavily populated areas in India, Pakistan, Central America, Africa, South America, including Belize, by the way. That's in the area.
That's good. All right, so that's enough. We don't need to, I like to pick out his number there. His number right now is 35 years now. It's all changed. AOC, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, she said that we only had 10 years left. Remember that? And then Al Gore said by 2014, Manhattan would be underwater. How's that looking? That never happened. He also said that, I'm not going to get all the years right, but in the early 2000s, that there would be no more polar ice. That's all lies. Just to show you, here's the sea level rise. From 1850, there's the picture. Notice it. And there's actually more rock showing now. In 2024. Here's another one. Arctic sea ice soars to highest level for 21 years. Not one thing this absolutely bombastic doofus ever says is actually correct. Now, he himself flew down there. Now, this is the COP30 in Brazil. He flew down there and landed his own. I mean, not only does Al Gore have a private jet, he has a huge private jet that emits more CO2 than all of Brent's family's cars for his life. And if he lived to 500 years in one trip. And all of what he's talking about here, he says all these man-made emissions. Remember now, of all the emissions that are ever trapped in this thin layer of the atmosphere that God designed that no man could destroy, 3% maybe is man-made. That's their own prognostication, and basically, so it's very, very little has anything to do with man. One, there it is. There's the sea levels right there. Same tides. Everything. Nothing's changed. Nothing. I've lived in Florida now. Yeah, I guess I can't believe it's that long. I've lived in Florida since 1980. It is exactly on the coast. Nothing's changed. I mean again, this is my beef. It's 10:13. I can't go on a long dissertation here, but I'll leave that up there. It's inspirational. Because here's the thing. I've been out here on the coast for all these years. I've worked a myriad of special details on the coast, whether it's, you know, Minnesota Key, Siesta Key, Nokomis Beach, whatever it may be. So I've been up and down the coast right here in Sarasota County, basically my entire adult life, really long before that, since I was in seventh grade. Aaron, how much of it has changed?
None.
Nothing. Aaron's been in here his whole life.
Yep.
Aaron's what, 31?
32, yeah.
32? Not one thing's changed.
Nope.
But we keep getting told, and leftists, why would you believe it? Again, it's just say you can roll them through. I love it. Yeah, here's the sea level changes. Ready? Boy, that's dramatic, isn't it? Whew, man, it's like, wow.
Wow.
Not one thing changes. Hmm. And then all you people on the left believe this? I hope somebody who's on the left has stumbled upon this podcast. Your entire narrative, your entire agenda is based on something that doesn't exist. And then the things that do exist, like murdering the unborn, don't exist to you. Amazing. It's truly amazing to me. But one volcano is more CO2 emissions than all of mankind for 500 years. And no, those numbers aren't accurate, but they are like that. It is that way. And then you're going to come up and say that man-made climate change, what one volcano eliminates all man-made climate change is a billion times man-made climate change. So you'd have to eliminate volcanoes and the myriad of other emissions that are constantly being emitted from every living and non-living creature on the planet. I mean, it's absolutely asinine. And last thing on this, he said it was the hottest year. Why is it the hottest year? Anybody know? Why is it the hottest year? Because now they take their temperature readings off of asphalt.
Yep.
Guess what didn't exist 100 years ago? Asphalt. So what they used to do was take a temperature reading off of Brent's front yard in the grass. Now they take it on the road in front of Brent's house. You ever been to Florida in the middle of the summer? You ain't going to go out in bare feet. No. Not step on anything that's concrete or asphalt, I can tell you that. You know what? They take all their readings basically from airports around the world on the asphalt so they can say that it's gone up. And we have all the pictures, like during COVID. I want to say to all these people who closed their churches, dutifully wear masks, pimped and hoard vaccines, where are the bodies? Same thing. Why don't you just drive to the coast and see if the waves, if the tide has ever gone past? You'd have to mark it at some point, but just ever see if the tide ever exceeds your original marking. Ever. It hasn't. Trust me, I lived on the coast since 1980. It's now 2025, and I've never seen it crawl up one bit at 1 inch. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's really weird, too. It's really odd because, you know what? In the state of Florida, you're always pining for late October, early November, and December because it gets cool. And guess what it did? Same thing. It got cool like it always does. And guess what's going to happen in April? It's going to start getting hot. It's happened since every year. And by the way, the exact same freaking temperatures. It's so funny because if you're in Montana, summer or winter, there will be a variation of 30 degrees in a day. You'll get up in the morning and it's like 21, and it'll warm up to 51. In Florida, nah. Nah. You get up, it's 70. You go to bed, it's 81. That's it. And by the way, how much of that has changed? Nothing.
Nope.
Everything they say is a lie. All right, 1017. That's good. We got anybody? Oh, got a couple on the rant tonight. Dave Souders, $10. Jules, 21 hours, $10. Richard Perry, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Thank you guys, everybody's watching, whether you're on YouTube or Rumble. Where else are we here?
Black Robe.
X. And X. Man, get an account on X and follow me on X. It's all that I need you to do. All right, love you guys. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. You got to see the Leslie Nielsen video that finishes out the post game. You're going to love it. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.